out of time. I want it all, and I'm wishing they stop trying to turn me off. I want it all, and I'm walking on a wire, trying to go higher. Feels like I'm surrounded by clowns and liars, even when I give it all away. I want it all.
Okay, we are back with another edition of the Missy AE Show, and tonight is a very, very special night. We have a very special guest tonight. Big Brother fans all over the world chose this guy as their favorite player for Big Brother 18 that just ended. He was a hell of a player. It took monumental efforts to get him out of the game, and he left with his dignity, and obviously everyone still respected how he played by voting him as America's favorite. So he will be here in just a few minutes. I have my co-host Lisa right here, ready to go. I think she's panting very nervously here.
So bad. So bad. Hi, Jim.
So
I'm way too old to be fangirling, but I can't help it.
All right. Let me text him and tell him it is showtime, and we will get him on here.
Alrighty.
I hope everybody's got questions for him. We're going to get you on and let you ask your questions. If you post them in whispers or if you tweeted them to me or Lisa, we'll get them on. If you post them in the chat room, we'll try to get them on. Or you can call in and talk to the man yourself and ask him yourself as soon as he gets here. And guess what, Lisa?
What?
He's here.
No.
Let me bring him on.
Okay.
America's favorite player, Victor Arroyo Tercero Martinez.
Get up.
What?
Hello.
Welcome.
We're so happy
welcome,
that you could join
welcome,
us.
Welcome, welcome, Victor.
Hey, how you doing? ¿Cómo estamos? How's everybody doing?
Muy bien.
Muy bien. She speaks Spanish.
Victor.
You have so many fans lining up to ask you a question. How have you dealt with this since you got out of the house and you got back home down there in Slidell, Louisiana? Are you used to it yet that you're now kind of a celebrity?
I mean, it's crazy because I don't even consider myself a celebrity in any respect. But the amount of love and support, you know, that my, you know, that me and, you know, my buddy Paul have gotten since we've gotten off the show has been ridiculously amazing, and it's a little overwhelming, but I love it
yeah.
so much because there's so much love out there, and so I just do my best to get on all my social media platforms and respond to as many people as I can. I FaceTime, I Skype fans randomly. I'll snap back to different snaps randomly, and so I do what I can to interact as much as I can, but it feels like it's almost impossible, but every little bit counts, and so I'm just going to keep it like that, and so hopefully I can reach just about everybody.
Yeah,
you know Victor,
what?
That you're doing these, you did your first fan tour.
I guess.
Lack of another word. How did that come about? I mean, the people, when I saw you tweet that out, I'm like, people are going to go crazy, and sure enough, that's what everyone was talking about. I was seeing people saying they were going to drive 2 and 4 hours, and they couldn't believe that, you know, you and Paul were going to do this.
Yeah, you mean in Edmonton?
Yes.
Yes, it's exciting for me. I've never been to Canada. And then, So for them to tell us, hey, we want you to come to Canada and just hang out with fans and have a good time, I'm like, oh, heck yes, I'll do that. One, I've never been to Canada. Two, I love all my fans. And so this is, and I get to hang out with my sitting duck, Paul. I mean, that's a blessing. I couldn't ask for anything better. And so, and all the support that we've gotten from, you know, Canadian fans has been just awesome, just awesome. And then, so I just got word that yesterday that we'll be also doing Vancouver right after Edmonton. And then, you know, possibly some other places, but that's in the works. So, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's we're trying to do as much as we can to get out and see as many people as we can.
I think that's one of the main reasons you were so popular, Victor. First of all, everyone likes you because you're so humble. I mean, it's like right now, you still haven't actually figured it all out at what all's happened. It's still just fun and new, and you're excited. And then the other thing is how you were able to play the game for an entire season like that, leave a couple of times and come back in, and yet when you finally did leave the game for the jury, you did it in a respectful way, and nobody had anything negative they could say about you. And I think that I think that's a huge compliment to your parents, and I'm glad we got to see them on TV too.
Shout out to Gretchen and Victor. They did a good job.
Yeah, Mama and Papa Bear. Yeah, it is really, because I think about it myself, and before I left for my own house, before going into the Big Brother house, you know, my mom had told me, be true to yourself, and that doesn't mean don't lie, but just be true to yourself. And so going into the house, I didn't want to become somebody I wasn't, have to fake it the whole time, and then when I get out of the house, have to worry about, you know, people's perception of me and, you know, what I did, and basically I didn't want to live with all that in my head. And so what I told myself is, look, just do what you do. You win, you stay loyal, and you trust the people that you need to trust, you know? And so that's right. I just stuck to my guns on that one. And I think being evicted first was a blessing in disguise, or not first, but third, was a blessing in disguise, because at that point, everybody that I was playing against had already evicted me once. So
right.
They literally had nothing bad to say about me if I evicted them. So I was put in a really good situation. I just stayed true to myself, got evicted again, came back again. Every time I came back in, I was less stressed than the time before because I've been through that rodeo. I mean, at this point, I played Big Brother 3 times.
Let me ask you something about finale night. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're aware that a lot of the diehard, hardcore Big Brother fans were kind of surprised at the outcome. Most of them thought your buddy was going to bring it home, and then all of a sudden – Nicole wins it by the slimmest of margins. Going into that live vote that night, is that what you thought was going to happen, or were you surprised too?
So going into that, I had, you know, in my mind, I had told myself, I was like, if Paul makes it to the end and he gets to choose, if he takes Nicole, it'll be a toss-up. I knew that from the jump, especially after the jury roundtable discussions and everything, you know, and I can't take anything away from her either. I mean, I'm not saying that she didn't deserve to win. Obviously, I just wanted Paul to win more because he's my boy. But
yeah,
she played
a
heck of a game too. Exactly. She did strategize, and she won comps at the end, and she stayed in the, you know, she wasn't on the block basically at all until the end of the season. And so I was like, man, it's going to be a toss-up if she goes up just because of, you know, how Paul – you know, his personality is so strong, and some people didn't like that in jury. And so I knew that it would be a toss-up if it came down to him and Nicole. But if it was him and James, I thought it would be maybe like a 7-2 at most with James.
You know, I think that's how most of the fans saw it, too. I think that most of the fans just thought Paul made a mistake in who he carried with him to the end. And have you talked to Paul about that? Does Paul think maybe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't talk about it much. We talked about it that night just a little bit, but obviously I don't want to keep bringing up, you know, $500,000 that you didn't, you know, win type of deal, because I'm not that guy.
Right.
But I did tell him, I mentioned to him that, you know, maybe if he would have took James, he would have won. And I understand where he's coming from, though, because he doesn't have all the information that we have. You know, when you're in that house, it's easy as a viewer to watch it and say, oh, this is the decision you should have made, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're
oh,
in the house and all you know is what somebody tells you and what you tell people, you don't know anything else. You don't know the other conversations that you've never heard of. And so how is he to know that people were thinking that Nicole was actually a really good gamer and weren't mad at her or anything like that? You understand?
Oh, yeah. It makes perfect sense.
That's a very good point. That happens in most all the games that have a jury vote like that. I know even with Survivor, it's like that. Once they get back home and they actually see everything that they didn't see while they were out there, a lot of times I've talked to survivors and they're like, oh, I would have voted way different if I'd have known all of this. But you don't know.
Exactly.
Like you said. You don't know.
They really do keep us secluded from all outside information, just as if we were in the Big Brother house once we're in jury. So, I mean, we have no idea what's going on. And then at the same time, the guys inside the house that have to pick who they're going with, they're still in the same bubble that they are. So it's really hard. It's really hard.
Right.
Victor, let me ask you a question. When you had when they were announcing America's Favorite Player, were you surprised that you won? Because you obviously have no idea what's going on outside. But you were one of the people. You and Paul would sit there and chat with us fans, and you some of the shows that you put on, your air guitar was great, and then the feed gold. You know, I'm a live feeder, absolute feed gold. So we were trying to send you vibes how much we loved you, but you not knowing it, how surprised were you when you found out that you were winning America's Favorite Player?
Well, that goes back to not getting care packages, you know. When we were in a bind and we thought, you know, we're done if we don't get a care package, and that's actually what happened with the co-HOHs, you know, and then I came back and we didn't get another one. I was like, man, the fans must hate us. Like, what's going on here? And, you know, obviously since we've been out, we've seen a bunch of conspiracy theories about that. aside from that, going into the end of the season, you know, I wasn't even thinking about America's Favorite Player. I thought, you know, maybe James or Natalie, and I was just doing my own thing. It was in the back of my mind. And then as the season progressed and it got later and later and later, and then everybody started arguing and the cattiness came out and all that, and I didn't partake in any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little, you know, I was like, well, maybe I might have a chance. You know, maybe I have a little bit of a chance, but I still wasn't expecting it. And it wasn't until they said it, I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was pretty emotional for me because I wasn't expecting it at all. And that's just like the icing on the cake for me. Evicted three times, but hey, you're America's favorite. There you go. Over 4 million votes your way. I was like, wow.
let me ask you about that, Victor, because that was a great debate. As we were leading up to the finals, a lot of fans were, of course, hoping that you were going to be there. So the great debate had started as to, okay, well, he deserves this because he's had to work his way back in twice, and that's hard to do. So if he gets there, he should win. Then other people said, but wait a minute, he's been voted out twice, so he don't deserve it. How were you going to handle that? Had you thought about that and what you were going to say to the jury?
Yeah, basically, my whole thing, I had a whole speech laid out and everything, and like I had gone through it in my mind, but my whole thing was because everybody has their own criteria, and that's the beauty of the jury. Not everybody has the same criteria for a winner. But having said that, my argument would be I was the one that had to take more chances, more risks. I had a target on my back the entire time. And Barr being evicted twice to make it to the end is a miracle. And so I think that right there, and the fact that the entire time, because even if I would have stayed in, and I still wouldn't have backstabbed anybody, and to be able to stay in the entire time and stay loyal to Paul, not backstab anybody throughout the way, I mean, I feel like that's an accomplishment in itself, because you can be not on the block at all, but you still have to backstab people on the way there, and that's what, you know, that's what Nicole had to do at the end of the day. And so I didn't have to do that. And so, I mean, but at the same time, I feel like if you have a huge target on your back, you're doing something right. I took it as an honor to be evicted three times, because that means Corey told me straight up he doesn't want to compete against me. I mean, who? Nobody wanted to compete against me.
And well, it was smart in that regard.
I'm a demon. I mean, I can see that. I see why nobody wanted to go up against you because, I mean, you were clutch. When you had to pull it off, you pulled it off. And, I mean, that you know, the other players in that house, they see that. I mean, they know that. They know that's not a guy I want to have to deal with. You know?
Exactly. And so me being – because at the end of the day, I didn't want to throw Compton's team weak. I mean, I wasn't going to hide behind any facade. And so the fact that I was able to beat myself, win the comps that I won, and still keep coming the two times that you're able to come back into the house, I'm the one that wins it. I feel like that would have been a really strong argument to win the game, especially in the thoughts of the people playing the game, not the people outside of the house. Does that make sense? Because the people inside the house are like, man, this guy, you know, because they're the ones voting, we evicted him twice. And and he still stayed in. It's like, what's our defense to that? We evicted him twice. We kicked him out twice, but then he came back again twice and beat all of us. I mean,
well, I know when you keep walking back in that house, when you look at the other players' faces, you can see that they're a little bit being demoralized because here we are trying to vote this guy out because we know what a threat he is, and damn if you don't keep coming back.
And I think the better beauty of that is not only – and because this is for my own, you know, good feeling, was evicting the people that were the ones that put me up on the block to be evicted.
Yeah.
And that
–
you were able to have that
sweet taste of revenge.
Oh, twice. I felt like I was karma. Best feeling ever. Oh, 100%.
You know, a lot of us are curious – you went out day 23 on your first eviction when you went into sequester. That was a full 2 weeks that you're out of the game. Now, obviously, you came back with a vengeance, and you let it out with your roar, which, you know, we all love, and you got your belt. How difficult, though, was it, Victor, re-entering the game, losing 14 days of everything that's going on?
Oh, I think you have a different perspective on the situation. Because when I got evicted, I was saying, man, once I found out that I could possibly get back in the house, I was like, well, frick, this is a cakewalk. Look, I get to relax, not think about the game, not stress about what's going on this week and who's getting evicted. And I just got to take care of one person that gets out of the house and then take care of the next. So, I win the first one, I relax. And then I win the next one, I relax, and I win the next one. So I don't have to deal with all the drama. I just got to make sure I beat that person that comes out. I mean, for me, it was relaxing. I had no stress that entire time. I was so relaxed. And for me, worst case scenario, I go home and see my family. Best case scenario, I'm back in the house. Not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig.
Yeah,
and you got that battle back belt also.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the best feelings ever. That last comp when I got it, the confetti, and I grabbed my belt. I mean, that felt so good. So, so good.
Victor, I got a question for you that I know maybe a lot of our listeners won't care about, but I do because I know you're an SEC guy and I'm an SEC guy.
SEC.
And we talked about this week. Just for me to know, I want to know what your thoughts were about how LSU fired Les Miles in the middle of the season.
Well, I actually haven't even gotten a chance at – this sounds, you know, really bad, but I've been so bombarded and doing so many things that I haven't even gotten a chance to actually read about what actually happened. But then I heard that we lost some games that we weren't supposed to lose at all. And then after that, you know, it was – I guess he got fired. But I can't really speak to it, and I don't want to sound dumb by responding, but I'm not sure. But I'm just happy that we won this last game.
Oh, yeah, it looks like the change was good for him this past week. It really does. So
Yeah. I hope it wasn't, you know, I hope that we played good, not that they played bad.
All right, well, let's do this. We've got a caller on hold, and I know it's one of our regular people from Big Brother Whispers, and I guess he's got a question for you. Daniel Sykes. Are you out there? You got a question for Victor?
Hey, what's up, Daniel?
Yes,
where you at?
Hey, Victor, and nice talking to you. So
hey,
I got a question. Now, a lot of, you're probably going to have a lot of questions about the in-game stuff tonight, but I want to have a question from you for, about the outside of game stuff, and that is, who you had a lot of Big Brother after parties right after the live show and everything. Who, what Big Brother alumni made the biggest positive impact on you, and did meeting them want you to make you want to go back and watch their seasons?
To be honest, and full disclosure here, that night it wasn't that it was a blur; it was just so much, like getting out of the house and you know, doing the post production interviews, and then finally going to the party and getting bombarded with people. And then finally getting my cell phone, and then going to the next, you know, cast party and being bombarded with people, and it was dark, and I could only stay for an hour because there was just so many people. I mean, everything was just kind of a blur. So I really, to be completely honest, I don't even have an answer for you for that. But I have been, you know, I have been tweeting out some of the people that I found out later, like that were rooting for me for America's Favorite, you know, like Rachel Riley or Derek, and, you know, people like that. That, you know, they were supporting me. Even Julie Chen apparently wanted me to win America's Favorite. So that's awesome.
Yep. Yep. Julie was a fan.
Yeah, isn't that, well, you know, after you meet somebody three times.
How could she not by that point?
Yeah,
yeah,
I guess
what?
She got to know,
like,
you.
Yeah, she's like, we have to stop meeting like this.
All right, Daniel, anything else?
Yes, I actually do have one more question, if you don't mind, Victor.
Okay.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
All right. One of our favorite things about Big Brother 18 this past season was, of course, your Big Brother nature watch.
Oh, my gosh. Bobo. Bobo.
Now, I got a question. You and Paul, of course, have your Sitting Ducks tour coming up. And I just came up with an idea. Like, do you plan to maybe do a BB Nature Watch with the fans at your appearances to maybe give them, like, a taste of the Big Brother experiences as you go from town to town?
Hey, I wouldn't mind to do it. I mean, I think it's hilarious. And it's funny that everybody loves that so much because it was just something I did randomly one day out of boredom. And then I just did it a couple more times, and then that was it. And then to see that it just made such a big impact is awesome, and I would love to do – I would like to do, like, a couple videos here of, like, Baldwin, BB Nature Watch, El Douchebaggle Radio, like, all that – all those things were so – that came out of boredom were so much fun to do, and then they got such a good reception that, you know, I would do it again. I think it'd be funny.
All right. Well, thank you very much for answering my questions, Victor.
Hey, no problem. Hey, thank you for watching the show. The support and love has been amazing.
Thanks for calling in, Daniel.
Jim, I actually have a question for someone that couldn't make it tonight.
Victor, okay.
Michael Doyle, someone from Big Brother Whispers, couldn't make it, but he did have a question for you. And his question was, do you listen to what people are saying during the challenges to pick up any strategy?
Actually, no. So what I do when I go into a comp is obviously I just, you know, listen to what we have to do, and then I just focus 100% on what's going on, as in my game, not anybody else's game. And so I just zone in, focus as much as I can. And to be honest, when we're talking about the competitions and everything afterwards, I couldn't even tell you some of the stuff that I did because I was so in the zone and, like, zoned out. And I could not, I couldn't tell you anything about how anybody else did unless they beat me. So, I mean, it really comes down to me getting in the zone. And, like, Paul realized that, you know, after a couple comps. And so he wouldn't even talk to me anymore while I was competing. And he would just, you know, do his best to bug everybody else and, you know, leave me alone. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to bring another caller on here, another caller from Big Brother Whispers. We've got Michelle Wood Bolin on here, and I think she has a nephew that wants to ask you a question. Are you out there, Michelle?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
What's up, Michelle?
How are you, Victor?
I'm just trying to show you some friendship. What's good?
You know, us Puerto Ricans got to stick together, so.
Ah, Boricua.
Yes,
there you
yes,
go.
See. Come here. This is my little nephew, Ethan, and he wants to ask you a question real fast, and then I have a couple for you.
¿Qué pasó, Ethan? Habla.
How did you win all those battle backs?
So, every time before I did a battle back competition, I would tie on my shoes. You know, I would tie my shoes really tight. Right when I got out to, you know, to compete, right before, I would come to the restroom. I'd use the restroom, take my, you know, pregame urination, get that out of my system. And then I would take a friendship pill, which is my boost of friendship, and go compete. Needless to say, I was just being myself, and I knew I had to win. And so I just did everything in my power to win those competitions and not give up. And to be completely honest, all those comps are a little bit of skill and a little bit of luck, and it just has to be your day. You have to be in the moment to get it. And so I guess I had the skill and I was blessed. So I loved it, and it was fun, and I got back and I got my belt, and it was awesome.
Thank you for answering that for him.
Hey, no problem.
Maybe if this show keeps going and going and going, one of these days he'll be on Big Brother and Victor will be calling back in asking him a question.
That
there
would
you
be
go.
Awesome.
I like
he would
that.
Love it.
Michelle, do you have any questions for Victor?
I do have a question. Victor, I know how important family is to you,
mm-hmm.
and I want to know how hard it was to be away from your family for so long.
I had it better than a lot of people because, you know, I was HOH 3 times, so I got a letter and all that. But it really didn't hit home until they showed the videos of our family on that live show. And
yes.
Wow.
Because you miss them so much, but it's not until you hear their voice for the first time in so many months. And right when, you know, right – stupid car behind me. right when Julie said, you know, but let – you know, I'm going to let your family tell you. I was about to start losing it, and then my family was the first one, and I just lost it. Tears and just all the emotions hit me at once, and so it was it's hard. I mean, it's hard being away for that long because no letter, no – I mean, you get a letter, but you can't respond, and you only get it if you win HOH. You can't call them, text them, nothing. So, yeah, it's really difficult. It was one of the harder things to do when you're in that house.
So – my next question, this is the last one. When you kept coming back and battling back to get into the house, you probably knew that you had this huge target on your back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I kept telling my sister, I was like, if he makes it to the end, there's no way he can lose this game. There's no way he can lose this game because the game that you played as far as Big Brother goes was brilliant. I mean, you know, you did everything that was asked of you. And you kept coming back and kept coming back. Did you know at the end when you did not win, but did you know that you were going to get America's Favorite?
I had no idea, and it really wasn't – it kind of hit me a little bit when I got the reception that I did at Jury. You know, everybody was shocked, surprised. You know, they started crying, and the last thing that they wanted to see out of all the people left in the house was me going into Jury. And then so that kind of – got my head thinking like, oh, well, if they think that highly of me, you know, I wonder if America thinks the same. And then, and I had no idea. Now I feel bad for all those times that I said, man, I think America hates me, and I never cared. And so coming out here that I have all this love and support, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
No, everyone loved you. And so thank you for answering the questions. And, you know, it was great to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all the support. It's unreal.
Okay, take care, Victor.
Michelle.
You're welcome.
See
you.
All right, Victor, I've got a question here that was posted in our Big Brother group on Facebook, Big Brother Whispers. Comes from Brittany Marie Curtis, and she says, just very simply, Victor, have you met up with Mariah yet?
So it's funny you say that because I was FaceTiming Nicole, you know, maybe like early last week or late last week or whatever after we got back, and she was hanging out with Mariah, so I saw Mariah and I just said hi, but it wasn't anything like flirty or anything. It was just very friendly. But that is a funny question, though, because I did talk about Mariah a lot, so good call on that one.
You can tell we paid attention to you on the feeds, Victor.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
we got another comment.
I just wanted to ask you a quick question in regards to, I know you've been straight out. We saw you in the live show at how emotional you got. You were just talking about that with Michelle, and at the end of that, I think it was like a four-minute segment, you were still choked up. But I think it was a couple of nights later that we got to go to Slidell and meet Mom and Dad and the family. Did you ever get a chance to see that bit yet?
Yeah, actually, when I got off the show, my buddy, he sent me a link to the, you know, the video of that segment. And they did an amazing job portraying my family just the way they are, just the loving, supporting, you know, the party people from Puerto Rico that just like to hang out and have a good time. They're just as mellow as you saw them, and they're just as supportive. I mean, anything that I've done in my life, they've supported 100%. And so they are really my rock. I mean, I wouldn't be able to have done anything that I've done in my life without them. And so, yeah, they're the most loving and thing is that I cherish in my life. And I would do anything for them the same way they would do anything for me. So it was a really good segment. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was so alive and so authentic. Your dad, oh, my gosh, he's too, too funny, would never go up against your mama. And her cooking, oh, I'm telling you, I actually rewatched that bit this afternoon, to prep for this. And I'm watching it again, and I'm like, oh, I've got to get down to Louisiana and find my way over for his mom to cook.
Yeah, it's nice because so I got back, and then Saturday night, and on Sunday, you know, we had a little cookout at the house and everything, and a bunch of my, you know, friends came, and, you know, my family was just my mom and dad there in Louisiana, in Slidell. So I had a bunch of friends and, you know, my parents there, and it was just so much fun, and it felt nice. I mean, it was nice to be finally back home and in that environment, you know, all the love finally from the people that I've known already,
right,
you know, since before the show. So it was nice being back with them.
Right. Well, listen, we've got another question from a member in Big Brother Whispers. His name is Cody Kirby, and I'm going to read it just like he sent it in.
Heaven
he
help.
Said,
okay.
he said, "Hey, Efitvik, I've been keeping up with y'all on Snapchat after the season ended, and I was wanting to know if you would like to hire a beer pong coach. It looks like you're struggling." It looks like you've been struggling. It looks like you've been struggling to be a comp beast at these parties and tailgates, and I can help you.
Oh man, it's funny because I did. I had some. Now, I went to the tailgate and I had some tank tops made up. They were purple and in gold letters. It said hashtag Sitting Ducks, and so I had just a bunch with me just to give out to fans. You know, I was wearing mine. I was just giving them out. And one group, you know, they brought me over to their tailgate, and two of the people there, I was like, well, if you beat me, I'll give you a shirt. She beats me. I'm not a comp beast. She gave away a shirt. I didn't win any games of beer pong this entire weekend or since I've been back. That's like the one comp that I can't win.
It's a good thing they didn't have that competition in the Big Brother house then.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy that wasn't one of them because I wouldn't have done so well.
Was there any challenges that kind of surprised everybody where something came up and everybody was thinking like, oh, wow, we didn't think about this? Or did everyone kind of get a good idea of what was coming?
So when they did the BB Stormwatch, so BB Stormwatch, they had, you know, they had the clues running throughout the night, and we had to memorize things. And we honestly thought that it was just going to be, like, some type of puzzle that you needed to know that, or, like, a fill-in-the-blank with, like, a turning, like, rotate. I don't know. Like, but to have us be hit by wind and rain and things and hold an umbrella and have to read off a teleprompter, no. We did not expect that at all. Not one bit. And I'm over there. I can't read the cumulus clouds to save my life. Umbrellas flipped inside out the entire time. There's like rubber sharks flying in front of me. Yeah, we weren't expecting that at all, but I could say that was one of the most fun comps that I've done.
We loved it.
Yeah,
the fans loved that comp.
Yeah, it was like, here we are all pretending to do the weather, and we didn't really see this coming.
Exactly. It's hilarious.
All right, let's get another caller on here. We've got a caller from the 562 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yes, Jim, it's Joella. Hi, everyone.
Oh, what?
Hey, Joella.
Hey there. So listen, I'll make this quick. Hey, Victor, what's up, honey?
Hey, nothing. You know, just hanging out, being Elfit, Vic.
All right. So, well, listen up, young fella. I just wanted to say congratulations to you. I am very, very proud of you. I want you to know that I am a fan of Big Brother since day one. So you definitely restored my faith because you gave me just great pleasure to cheer for you this time around. I have to tell you, I haven't been this invested in the season in a very long time, and the other people on the line can attest to that. So you made
True.
It very exciting for me. I'm very proud of you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to cry again. I cry all the time.
I can tell you for a fact, because I know Joella, I can tell you how she screamed and yelled and hollered your praises all season long.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's crazy just hearing that stuff, because when you're in the house, you completely forget that you're on a TV show. And to know that as I'm forgetting that I'm on a show, I'm entertaining people over here, and, you know, and they have so much love and support for me, and I'm just in there not knowing anything.
Yeah, I can't imagine how you would have let me back up and say I can only imagine how well you would have performed had you known how much you had America behind you, literally. I mean,
right.
We have over 13,000 members in Big Brother Whispers, and just you held a very high percentage, my friend, and we were pulling for you guys all the way to the end. So, again, I don't want to take up too much time. I wanted you to know that. And I'm an old biddy, too. That's why I refer to you as young fella. I'm pushing 50. I think you're cute, but I'm just keeping it classy. So let me move it along.
Hey, no. I appreciate it.
All right, so I had my question, Victor. I don't want to be the one that asks you something too standard. So I'm curious, because we know how important your integrity and all of that is to you. You shared at the top of the call how you were going to be true to yourself, and we're so proud of you for that. But I have to ask you, if given the opportunity to play the game again, because we all expect that not only will you be asked, we think that you would say yes. The game again. Okay, so let's say that ends up coming to fruition. Would you change how you played it? Would you lie, Victor, if there was no other way you could play? There is no battle back, honey. There is no win every single comp. It is a test of integrity and a test of if, in fact, you would be able to lie in a way that wouldn't harm the way you want to be perceived and how you and your family would be viewed. Could you change it up?
So I think I answered that question in playing the game because after I was evicted once and I came back through the battle back, I had no idea that there was another one coming. You know, everybody
right.
thought that the round trip ticket was going to be the last thing, and after that it's done. And so I was able to keep my composure and play a non-sleazy game again, and then evicted and come back and do it again. And so I feel like that right there would say that, yeah, I would, if I came back on Big Brother, I would play with the same integrity, honesty, and loyalty that I played this time around, try to win as much as I can and align myself right. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at the end of the day, I kept my integrity, and my brain feels good about it. My brain and my soul are good.
That's an honest answer, and I know you mean it. That's amazing. I know you mean me, I'd have to switch it up. But you stick to your guns.
The cool thing is, the real cool thing about it is because of the way I played in the house, you know, the whole time that I was there, now when people ask me what if scenarios and I answer them, they believe me. Or they just trust what I'm saying, that it's the word, because that's how I am. And it feels great to not have to, you know, defend myself about my character in the house. And so, you know,
that's
one of the things that I didn't want to have to happen. I didn't want to come out of the house and have to answer to these questions that, like, oh, no, I was just, you know, being a character because I try to win the game. I was trying to win the game, but I just was myself.
But you know what it does to you the next time around is it makes it perfectly clear to other people, perhaps even some veterans, that you will definitely be someone that they can trust. And that is a huge asset
right.
in the game.
That's
yeah,
a good
exactly.
point.
So hopefully getting evicted 3 times last time will help me next time.
You definitely would have to be the man that everybody wants.
Yeah.
Well, I'll leave it there. That makes me happy. My other question, Jim, will probably get to, but I'm happy that I had an opportunity to chat with you. And, again, we're all so very proud of you, honey.
Oh, thank you again. Tell everybody back over there at the Whispers that I do really do appreciate everything that, you know, has been given to me, especially outside of this house, and all the love, support, America's favorite, like all that is beyond what I thought my Big Brother experience would be like. And I'm just grateful and blessed at this point.
Thanks, Joella.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joella.
All right.
Bye, guys.
You know, Victor, that question she brought up, it's really interesting because you are in such a good position because your fans, who are numerous, they love you so much, and they know now after this season what's inside you as a person, as a man. I honestly think if you went back in and played again and you did mix it up a little bit and maybe cut a few corners here or there, they wouldn't care because they already know what kind of man you are. So it makes it hard for you because – you know, now you know how popular you are, and you know you might could do that, but, you know, like Joella was asking, do you do that, you know, for the money?
And the way you phrase that question does, you know, bring up an interesting point. Why not
right.
use the popularity that I have already just to say, you know what, forget this. I'm going to start stabbing people in the back and stuff because I did this rodeo last time and forget everybody. But
right.
the problem that I have internally is telling someone to their face, hey, I got your back. I would never, you know, I would never, like, throw you under the bus or anything. And then doing it. It has nothing to do with people's perception of me. Because that, you know,
right.
I do care about that, but I was just myself. And it just so happened that people loved the way I was normal. And so
right.
just for my own inner self-feeling, I can't tell somebody to their face that I'm going to have their back and then run around to the corner and say, hey, this guy sucks. Let's get him out, you know.
Right.
Like I just couldn't do that. And it was hard. Huh?
Bottom line, it's just in your makeup. That's just who you are as a man. That's who you are as a person. That's just not how you are, and you just can't do that. That's not you.
Yeah, it's like even when I telling – so when I won the Harsh Hashtags competition and – I come back inside and Paul's telling me we got to get Paulie out, and I completely agreed with him, and I was, you know, I wanted to do that, but having to tell him to his face, you know, after he came up to me and like, oh, we're gonna do this speech and this, that, and the third, and then I was saying I was gonna do, you know, oh, we'll all hit our chest and, you know, strength and honor, it'll be kind of funny, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, the guys are aligned. That having just that minimal conversation with him was really hard for me because it sucks because, you know, I feel like he did trust me at that point. And he might have thought something was off, but knowing who I was, he didn't think I would do it.
Right.
And so just something as simple as that was hard for me, but I knew that he had already evicted me before he put me up on the block and that he already had some other plans with other people. So that made me be able to justify it, but I still felt bad for doing it.
Yeah, right. All right, we're going to bring another caller on, and this is another caller from Big Brother Whispers. Cheryl, are you out there? Do you have a question or comment for Victor tonight?
Do I ever? Hi, Victor. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How you doing?
I am hanging in. All right. First off, I want to tell you, it's been a long time since this 61-year-old old fart has been fangirling, but darn if you haven't done that.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's great.
That is awesome.
Okay. My question is, that's always been my dream to go on Big Brother, but obviously I'm too old now. What was the absolute best thing for you?
Just in the show in general, being on Big Brother in the house, like what was the best thing?
Yes.
The best thing was knowing that you're a target and winning HOH. So that chicken coop comp that we did where we had to put our fingers through the chicken wire, winning that comp and keeping myself and Paul safe for that week was one of the best feelings I've ever had on the show because I knew everybody would have been gunning for us if we didn't win. And so I had so much energy and euphoria through me that that was one of the best feelings I've had in winning a comp and being in the Big Brother house. By far, because I got myself safe. I got Paul safe. Nobody's going to mess with us that week because I got it on lock.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a really, really overwhelmingly satisfying experience.
Well, I want to reiterate what Joella said. We are all so very proud of you. We were rooting for you. And it was just amazing. I was so sad the night you left. The last time.
Yeah, no, it's like I've been telling everybody, just this reception, this homecoming, and everybody, you know, through Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, just all the love that's been coming through has been making my days just amazingly happy. I mean, you know how nice it is to wake up and, you know, you see everywhere, Victor, I love you. Victor, you're amazing. Oh, I'm so happy that you won America's Favorite. Like that feels great. It's like,
yep.
It's just amazing. I can't even describe it, to be honest.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking to me, and so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so, so much.
All right, we have another caller from the 248 area code. Caller, are you out there?
Breaker, breaker, caller. Breaker, caller.
I think they got disconnected. We got another caller here from the 609 area code. Caller,
oh,
are you out?
What's up, 609 area code? Oh, what's up?
Hello?
Hey.
It's me. I'm here. Hello? Hello?
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Go ahead, caller.
I'm doing fantabulous.
Good. I had a question. I know you said you were interested in acting, and I was wondering if Broadway might be something you'd be interested in, because I could see you playing in the show Evita. I could see you playing Che. I could see you in Jesus Christ Superstar playing Jesus or Judas. Well, maybe not Judas,
wow,
because you're too loyal. is that something you'd be interested in?
I mean, I think, to be honest, I would take any opportunity that came my way. I mean, if somebody sends me an email and is like, hey, you want to try Broadway? I would 100% try it. I mean, why not? If I get the chance to, why not do it? I just put my heart and soul into it and have fun with it, you know?
Yeah, I could definitely see you doing that. Because you're really
like,
entertaining. I really enjoy Baldwin just cracked me up, and your Nature Watch. You just have a real talent for it, and you were very enjoyable to watch this summer, so I was definitely rooting for you.
Thank you, thank you. And just know that all that Baldwin, all that stuff just comes out of, we have nothing to do in the house, and it's like when you're in your house those days and you feel kind of like you get that energy, but you got nothing to do and you start acting weird. That's where like Baldwin, like, where's my money? Give me my freaking money. Like all that, That
was
where
so
that
cool.
From.
I mean, you even had my dog barking at the TV during that.
Well, it's hilarious because the whole Baldwin thing, I didn't get to experience Baldwin until I come out of the house because I don't know what he looks like when he's yelling at somebody because I'm the one doing the voice. So
yeah.
when I get these videos of Baldwin and I look at him, I just start cracking up laughing because Baldwin is like, he has his own personality. He's like a real, it's like, man, that bird's going to mess me up.
It was hilarious. I really enjoyed it. Okay, well, thanks for talking to me.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Okay, wish you all the best.
Thanks, caller.
Thanks.
Victor, the people in the chat room are going nuts because you did the Baldwin voice.
Mm-hmm. You know, Victor, I have to tell you something. You know, you commented that we
didn't.
Well,
no, I have to tell you something. Where is my money? All right? I come here. I'm looking for my $5,000. I'm thinking James is going to be on the show. He said he was going to PayPal me, and I still don't have my money. Remember, I got 10 of these little bastards at home. I'll find where your car is, and it'll poop all over.
Oh, my gosh. I'm dying. See, when you do that, you don't understand. I mean, I've been watching Big Brother since season one also. There have been better years and not so better years. And, you know, we're not in the house, but we do realize it gets to a point you just get bored and there's nothing to do. And different people have tried to entertain us or entertain themselves, per se. But what you were doing, the entertainment factor that you were bringing and that Paul was bringing was absolutely amazing. It got us, you know, like last year, I wasn't watching the live feeds all the time. Okay, you know, I'll go on here, I'll go on there. I found myself watching it, like, way too much. My family went away to India for 3 weeks, and I don't think I went to sleep for 3 weeks when I was watching the feeds because I didn't want to miss something that you or Paul did. Because of that entertainment factor you brought to us when you were in the house, I don't think you realized the magnitude of how entertaining it was for everybody. Paul, when he was being secret agent man, and he would run around and he'd slide across the table, you'd be playing air guitar upstairs. I mean, those things were fun for us. We loved it.
And, you know, the best part about that is that that's how me and Paul are normally. I mean, that's just us on a normal – so we weren't acting. We were just being ourselves and hanging out together and being funny. I mean, if you can ask any of my friends, you know, that have known me for a long time, I'm weird. Like, I'm not, you know, people can see the beard and, you know, sometimes they'll be like, oh, this guy, he just works out. He's serious all the time. And you would think that if you just see me walking down the street because I'm not just walking around with a huge cheeky smile. You know, nobody does that. That's weird. But if you get to know me, and that's what people on the show do, they get to know me while I'm on the show because, you know, they watch me all the time. That's how I am. I'm just a weird, goofy guy, and I like to have fun, and I don't take anything like too seriously about my life, and so it's awesome to have that reception with people when I'm just being myself, and you know, same with Paul.
Loved it. Hey Jim, before you take another caller, I had another question from the chat room for someone that's having telephone problems. Victor Steve Kent has a question for you, and his question is, Victor, after seeing how the season played out, do you think you and Paul would have had an easier road to the final two had you gone with James and Natalie instead of Corey and Nicole? Not that the trust factor, you know, you made a deal, but would you have had an easier road,
yeah,
I guess,
so
going with James and Natalie?
All alliances aside, right, given it, take all the alliances aside, let's say nobody's working with each other. In retrospect, yeah, it would have been easier to probably evict Nicole at that point, get Nicole out of the game, and then Corey's alone. And then James, I guess, it would just make it easier for us because we would take apart a couple that was really strong and was actually winning competitions. And so we take them apart, and then it would just be me and Paul against those three. And at that point, it would have been easy to try to team up with Natalie and James and be like, look, we didn't put you up on the block this week. Let's get out Corey. And then we get Corey out. And then just from there, try to win as many comps as we can to make sure we stay in. So in retrospect, that might have been an easier road, yeah. But I didn't take that road. So
let me break it down real simple for you, Victor. If it's you and Paul and Natalie and James, and don't get me wrong, I love me some Natalie, but there's no way Natalie beats you or James beats you, and there's no way Natalie beats Paul or James beats Paul. So one of you guys were going to win if it were those two, but like you said, you're in the house at that time, and you don't know everything that the fans are seeing, but I'll guarantee if that's the way the Final Four would have broke down, one of you two were going to win.
Isn't that crazy to think?
It is. It really is. It really is.
It's
Monday morning quarterbacking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you really don't know. You just making those calls on the fly as they go with the information you have in the moment. And, you know, sometimes you hit it right and sometimes you don't.
Right.
And so we definitely saw some of that this season. But, I mean, overall, regardless of whatever happened this season – or what anybody said about me, you know, in the house, like, I wouldn't have changed anything that I did because even people hating, even people not like, I've gotten, you know, the whole thing that the first time around, not many people like me, you know, but then when I came back, that's when the love started growing for me. And so I wouldn't
make
even
Donald Trump.
So I wouldn't change anything for the world just because maybe the end result might not have been the same. And to be honest, I would probably take America's favorite any day of the week until post to the 500K and have people, you know, dislike me.
Yeah. A couple of comments coming out of the – there's a big chat going on in Big Brother Whispers now as everyone's listening to you. And I just want to read you a couple of comments. One person, Wendy said he did Baldwin. That is awesome. I'd $5.99 a week for the Baldwin show.
Well, I think in the mail I'm going to get a Baldwin here pretty soon, so I'll upload some videos of Baldwin yelling at you guys.
And then we've got another from Michelle. She says, awesome young man, awesome podcast, and he brought Baldwin with him. They love Baldwin, man. They love Baldwin.
Well, they might love BB Nature Watch if I just talked in this voice a little bit. Because right now we are talking with L. Fitz. He's a beast of a specimen. He can win 9 or more comps given the time and chances. He can come back even if he's kicked out. He is the one and only, the Puerto Rican sensation himself, L. Fitz.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, that is so good. That is good. All right, I've got another question here. Let's see, this one was sent in to me, and they said to ask you, how does it feel to know that people were watching you shower every day?
Oh,
the women were loving it, but
about that, it's so you get so paranoid and sketched out because it's not the showering itself, because inside the shower, you know, you're behind the glass, and so they can't see you. They can only see your head. But when you walk out, you're scared that you're going to drop a towel, that you got your butt hanging out. You know, there's a couple GIFs out there with my butt hanging out, and I think it's pretty funny. But at the same time, you're scared that you're going to go full frontal. So,
oh, no.
That's what you're trying to avoid. And so it's a little bit nerve-wracking. Yes, it is.
Yeah, because you know what that happens. Everybody, all the Big Brother fans are on Google searching Big Brother nudes, and there you are.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
You don't want Mom and Daddy to see that.
Oh, man. Nah, they've seen it. I'm their son when I was a baby.
All right, we've got another question from one of our moderators in Whispers, Tina White. She said, who from the season other than Paul are you going to try to keep as a friend, and who are you going to avoid the most?
So, given who I am, obviously, I'm not going to say that I'm going to avoid somebody because I would never do that. Because I didn't have any real beef or, you know, bad temperament with anybody in the show. One. But aside from Paul, like, I've been talking to Nicole a lot because me and her, we were really good friends in the house and we were really close. And so I've been texting her and FaceTiming her a lot. You know, I text Glenn here and there. I was talking to Paulie today, actually. I was texting him, and same with Bronte. And I just got off the phone with Michelle not too long ago before I called in, actually. And so, I mean, I really didn't have a problem with anybody in the house, especially outside the house. Everything's gone by the wayside, and I had no, like, bad taste left in my mouth for anybody. And I'm hoping nobody had a bad taste in their mouth for me. So, I mean, I'm not avoiding anybody.
Good, good. Here's another comment from Whispers about the shower deal. It's from a lady named Sue Gordon. She said she was hoping the towel would fall.
We would do live feed. I'm pretty sure it was Sue, and we would have a live feed thread. We would update throughout the day for people that didn't have the feed, so they were at work and they couldn't access them. And I'm not sure, but I think Sue made a couple of comments like, I hope it does fall, like when you were coming out of the shower. May not have been.
Oh,
Sue.
I hope it wasn't a cold shower as a have not.
And this is in true Big Brother fan form. After I asked the question, then she's posting, oh my God, I can't believe you asked that question.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, we have such amazing fans in Big Brother. Well, I'll respond to a tweet, and then like a second after, they're, oh my God, he responded to the tweet, and that feels great. And I'll just keep liking all their stuff, and they're like, oh my God, he liked it, and then I'll go like that again.
Right. Right.
Really, really.
And
cool.
But you know, that tells you sort of how the reality fans, what they're used to. Because I get that too, because I do a lot of the Survivor stuff, a lot of the Big Brother stuff, and I don't know, it's just how I was raised, you know, because like you, born in the South and raised in the South, and I think ignoring someone is rude, so when they send me a tweet or something, I always reply, and then when they come back and say, oh my God, I can't believe you replied, it's like, why not? You sent me a message, so I replied to you. But
yeah,
in the world of reality TV, I guess there's a lot of people that they just don't do that.
I mean, and I don't see why, because maybe a month or 3 months ago, depending on what show you were on, you were really pretty much a nobody, you know? You were just some guy that was maybe doing some job somewhere, and then you got on the show, and then now you have all these people watching you, and they have this admiration for you, and they, you know, they loved how you played. And, you know, why not show them the support back, because they're the ones that got you there, you know?
Right, exactly. I mean, I don't understand why, but, I guess that's just the difference in people. You know, when you're dealing with people, different people react in different ways. So we've got another caller here. Let me see. Area code 204. Area code 204, you out there?
Yeah, it's Michael. I just want to say thank you for taking my question there. That means a lot to me. It was hard for me to go into the chat today. I just have a really quick question for you, another one. What was your first home meal, and how good was it to be with the family, and like how much did you miss them during the show kind of thing?
So my first meal, and you won't even know what this is, but it was mofongo. With like a chicken, not chicken, with like a steak and onion stew. So mofongo is plantain that's fried and then mushed into like a mound, and it's seasoned and it just tastes amazing. It's a Puerto Rican delicacy, mofongo. Look it up. And this is like a steak and onion like stew mix. Oh, it was amazing. Mom hooked it up. She asked me before I flew out that day. She's like, what do you want? And I told her, this is what I want, and she made it. She made it happen. And nothing, just being home with my family that first night was just so overwhelming. And, you know, I have all of them there, and then I have all my social media stuff blowing up too. And it's just I'm getting hit from every angle. And but it was nice. I finally, you know, I was home. That first night sleeping in my bed was awesome. Felt really, really good.
Yeah,
it was nice to finally be back in a familiar place.
I bet. You know, Michael is a Canadian, so he watches you from Canada. He's a Big Brother fan from Canada, and he's attended some of the events up there where Big Brothers Big Brother house guests come in and make appearances. So maybe with you and Paul going on this tour, you may run into Michael.
Yeah, there's a good chance we do.
I hope that you come by Winnipeg. There's a lot of Big Brother fans in Winnipeg, so keep your eye on that.
We'll do our best. I mean, what we try to do is just try to book whoever gives us a call to go somewhere, and you know, but that's all through somebody else. But I'm telling you, if we can get there, we'll go there.
Awesome, man. And I just got to let you know that Jim Early makes a big kick butt barbecue sauce. Apparently, it's gone through the word of mouth of Whisper, so he should maybe hook you up with some barbecue sauce or something.
Oh,
100%. I'll send Victor some of my hot wing sauce. I bet he'll love that hot wing.
Oh, dude,
all right, guys,
I got my
P.O.
box. Just send it to me. Just send it to me, and I'll take a picture of me eating it. It'd be awesome.
That's good.
All right, thanks, Michael, for
calling in. Thanks. Another couple of comments down in Whispers from Peg Hernandez. She said, Victor is truly one of the most sincere house guests ever, and he's so intelligent.
Aw, thank you. I mean, I pride myself on my degree. My parents didn't pay for that for nothing, I guess.
And then Wendy says, I love that he's having so much fun. This is great. So, Joelle is still commenting. You know, she called in earlier, and now she's still commenting in the group saying he's such a riot.
I mean, just think about it. So everybody that's listening right now, just think about it like this. 3 months ago, nobody cared to talk to me unless I called them. Right?
Isn't that weird?
And, like, even for, like, a job, like, maybe somebody will call me if I put in my resume and they're interested to talk to me for, like, 10 seconds, you know? And now it's just, like, everybody wants to talk to me. And so I'm over here like, well, if you want to hear me talk, I'll talk to you. Why not? I'm nobody special. Let me just give you a minute of my time if you want to talk. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And so that's how I look at these things.
Right. You're like, I don't know what the hell happened, but. Man, I've been waiting to talk to you guys forever.
Exactly. It's like, oh, well, look, now I've been wanting to talk to you guys for all this time. Now you want to talk to me, so this is perfect. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, we got another comment out there. And somebody wants to know, are you watching the new Big Brother season? And if so, what do you think so far?
I can be completely honest with you that I haven't seen any of it. And that's not, you know, I'm not trying to say that I'm not going to watch it because I think the regular Big Brother is better than this or anything like that. It's just that I've just been so overwhelmed since being home. It's only been like a week that I haven't even got a normal night's of sleep. I've only stayed
right.
In my own house maybe like two or three times. And so, yeah, I haven't been able to just sit down. And anytime that I do sit down and relax, I'm in my emails, or I'm trying to respond to as many fans as possible on all my social media. So, nah, I don't even know what's going on in the world right now, to be completely honest. I'm in, like, my own bubble right now.
Right. It's like, okay, I just got out of this. I spent over 100 days of my summer doing this, and now I'm back home around my family and friends. Do I want to sit there and watch them do this for another 90 days? You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of like I did my time, let them have their time, I'm going to do my thing now.
Exactly, and so I really do, though, want to watch Big Brother 19, season 19.
Right.
But this one just started
right.
So fast that I haven't even gotten a chance to decompress from my own season, and I'm going to start watching another season, you know?
Well, maybe all the fans will get blessed and very lucky, and somehow you're on season 19. That would be amazing.
That would be bizarre. That would be really, really crazy.
Maybe send you back in there with a whole cast of all-stars and bigger targets than you, you know, bigger names from the past, and let's see Victor wiggle his way up to the top and put them all away. I think the fans
that. I would take my best shot at it. I mean, if they brought me back with an all-star season, I wouldn't necessarily feel much like an all-star, but I would do my best to make it to the top, like you said, win as much as I can and just stay in the house as long as I can, maybe kick out some of the veterans.
Right. Lisa did our weekly Big Brother podcast every week. She recapped the show every week. She took all the calls every week. And I'm just wondering, Lisa, if after you finally met this guy and talked to him on here, is he what you thought he was? Is he what the fans thought he was? Is this a surprise, or is this pretty much what you expected?
Lisa must be on mute.
Lisa.
Lisa has seen it.
Let me look here. She's supposed to be, I guess. Wait a minute. Okay. I think she got bumped off. Lisa, are you there? I guess not.
Lisa, where are you? We are looking for you.
Where did
she
go?
Here she is. She got bumped off. Here she is. Lisa's back. She got bumped off. Lisa, did you hear my question?
Yeah, I heard the question. I was here.
Okay.
I got knocked out. I would say not really surprised, because we really got to know Victor really well when he came back the first time. And everybody, I mean, you can't hide in the house. You can try to fake, but we can see it. I think what surprises me is how generous you have been of yourself and your time since you have gotten out, because it has to be a whirlwind. You go into sensory overload after you leave there. You want to see family. You want to see friends. And you're probably you're part of a duo that's probably one of the most loved by the BB fans. And you're out there tweeting, and you're saying hi, and you're saying this. And if at all possible, I think the fans love you even more now that you're out of the house than when you were in the house. Because, I mean, you could be taking all this time just for you, and everybody would understand that. But you're reaching out to fans, and that's just, unfortunately, not something you see a lot. And people are going crazy. Everyone wants you back on Big Brother again. Probably 2-3 dozen people are all saying they want to see you and Paul on Tar together, The Amazing Race. I mean, if possible, you're even sweeter outside than you were inside.
I mean, you know, all you're saying is true. You know, being back, to be honest, the hardest thing has been, you know, making a schedule for myself, because, you know, I got a bunch of stuff like this and, you know, other stuff that I have going on, and then I'm trying to make time for my family, and I'm trying to make time for my friends, and I still got, you know, I'm doing my best to respond to fans. And so the hardest thing for me is getting a schedule together and giving myself a break. I mean, I haven't, you know, I typically go to the gym every day, and I've only gone to the gym maybe twice since I've been back. And so a part of me is a little bit overwhelmed, but at the same time, I love it. Like, I'm...
Oh, crap.
Hello?
I think you got cut off. Let's see.
Yeah, it was weird, Jim. I got cut off. Blog Talk said you've now been disconnected, and that's how I got knocked out.
Here he is. He's right back.
Who hung up?
All right, there he is.
He
got cut off like you did, Lisa.
I'm blaming it on Jim early. He probably disconnected both of us, Victor.
Oh, yeah, right.
But anyway,
Hey, let me tell you this, Victor's used to this. He's used to being thrown out and coming back.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
That's another. I just got another battle back in. But anyway, to finish my thought that I was saying, as much as I'm getting bombarded and you know my schedule's all whack and I'm not sleeping right, I'm loving the reception and I love talking to all the fans that are out there, and that's why I do it, you know, because if it's not for them, I'm nobody and I'm nothing, and I just think I'm the kid from Slidell. I'm the nobody kid manager from Slidell, and y'all make me feel way more than that, and so why not take a lot of time out of my day to just talk and immerse myself with my fans as much as I can and keep them, you know, seeing what I'm doing throughout the day and responding and Skyping random fans. Like, I love all that stuff. It's a lot of fun,
right.
And, you know, I do it because I enjoy it, not because I have to.
Right. We got another caller here from the area code 562. Caller, are you out there?
Jim, I might have to take it personal that you don't realize that this is Miss Joella. I was supposed to be calling back in. I got booted. It's no other 562.
Hey, Victor, I think you've got a stalker.
I'm stalking you, young
okay.
fella. I'm stalking you.
It's okay. I'm not running.
Oh, look, watch out now. Watch out.
I think it's a dead heat though. I think it's between Joella and Cheryl. I think they're both running.
That's hilarious. That's too funny.
Oh my gosh.
So Victor,
you want
there's
this right
another
here?
Question. I know you've probably heard this question a lot, but somebody did just ask it over in Big Brother Whispers. They're wanting to know if you would consider doing other shows besides Big Brother, like maybe The Amazing Race or Survivor.
Yeah, actually, me and Paul are really, really interested in doing The Amazing Race together. I mean, seeing the Sitting Ducks travel the world together would be not only a fun experience for me, but I think it would be a fun experience for you guys as well.
It would be epic. Epic, epic.
So that's something that I'm trying to push for. Hopefully we can make it happen. And, you know, next thing you know, me and Paul, the Sitting Ducks, are fighting for the prize around the world.
Yeah, couldn't you see you and Paul being stuck over in Istanbul in a little bitty cafe, and Paul says, come on, tell your boy how to get out of here.
Yeah. No, it'd be more like, hey, Paul, we have to take a left. And he's like, you don't know that. And it's like, no, literally, the map is telling us to go left. He's like, you don't know that. How do you know? Because the map is right here. He's like, no, I'm taking a right. And and then we start fighting. And, yeah, that's more or less what it's going to be like.
That would be so much fun, though. I mean, just see you guys doing those challenges and things together and, like, just running around the world. That would be beyond amazing. I can't even tell you. My 13-year-old daughter, who's one of your biggest fans, would love it.
You know, Rachel and Brendan did that. You know, they went on there. And then from Survivor, Rob and Amber did it too.
Yeah, I mean, we're showmans as well, you know, me and Paul. But as well.
Yeah, forget Jeff and Jordan. We want Victor and Paul.
Yes, indeedy.
<That's funny. laughs>
Hey, listen, I actually have a question, and as co-host, I'm using that. Victor, my daughter Mahima, who is now since in bed because she has school in the morning, she actually has a question for you. And her question was, did you know that you'd find your best friend when you went into the house? Because now, mind you, she only can watch. I don't usually let her watch the feeds because I never know what's going to be on there. So she just watches the live show, but she still saw the progression. So, yeah, she wants to know, did you know you were going to meet your best friend when you got in the house?
So, in all honesty, and I even told this to Paul in the first week that we were in the house, when I first met him, you know, I didn't know what to think about him. I was like, man, this guy, he's so loud and obnoxious. You know, I don't know if I'll be able to handle that energy. And all that all the time. I was like, man, this guy might have to go if he gets on my nerves. And ironically enough, we just end up becoming the best of friends. I mean, it was crazy because we were a little bit close. We're not the closest when I first got evicted, but we were a little close, especially after Jose got evicted. We got closer, and we hung out a lot because it was just, it felt like it was just us. And then especially after I came back and we started working together 100%, you know, hardcore, then, you know, that's when our relationship really took a turn for the best. And we're just going from there. So I can't say that I knew I was going to find my friend, you know, my best friend in the house, but going through what we went through together is what made us best friends.
Thank you. I'll let her know that. Oh, actually, I'll tell her she has to clean her room or I'm not going to give her the answer tomorrow morning. So thank you.
Oh, there you go. That's a good way to do it. That's parenting right there.
That's right. Work it in as a parent. Another question. I know this is being buzzed around, and I want to add somebody else to the question other than you. There, you know, you've been asking people about your beard. Should you shave your beard? Should you trim your beard? Should you cut your beard off? Let's go even further, and let me ask you what you think about you and Paul both. Should you shave your beards or keep them?
I know Paul, he's had his beard for so long, and I remember him talking to me in the house and saying, you know, he might shave it soon. But I like Paul's beard. I think he should keep his beard. And I think I'm getting close to the time where I'm going to shave mine because I look like a caveman. I'm not going to lie. I got the long hair and I got the whole, you know, it's not even a full beard. It's like scruffy, like, you know, I don't know. So I think I might wait till No Shave November is over next month, and then I'll go ahead and cut it off.
You're going to be a clean face for Christmas.
Oh, you have, I look like a bit. When I shave, I look like I'm 12.
Well, I have a full beard now, and I usually just trim it down to a goatee. I don't ever just go 100% clean because I don't think anybody can handle the way I look like that. So I understand where you're coming from.
Well, that's
Let me ask you a question about the show itself and not a player. How do you think that production handle things behind the scenes? And what did you think of Julie as a host?
So, you know, I can't really talk to the behind the scenes production because I just can't talk about it. But Julie
right.
Chen as a host, I think she's amazing. I mean, she's so friendly. She's so professional. She's, like, perfect. I don't know how somebody can be so perfect, but Julie Chen is perfect. And she was so nice to me every time I got evicted. I can't hate on Julie. I mean, I think she's really awesome. And, yeah, she's really cool.
What did you think the first time, very first time, you set foot there, and you saw Julie, and you knew this was really for real now.
When I, when I was standing there on stage before we got into the house, I don't know why, but I was so nervous. I was shaking. I had never felt like that before. Like, I was just, and I really don't know why, but it wasn't until I walked into the Big Brother house itself that it became real for me. It's like, wow, we're here. We're on the show. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is – it's crazy. Like, now we're there. That's it. Like, this whole time trying to get into the house, and now I'm in here. And, like, now what? it's a surreal experience, and I'm happy that I've gotten to experience that because I know, you know, there's only a handful of people that do get to experience it. So, for me, it was crazy, bizarre, and I'll remember that forever, for real.
Had you ever applied for any other shows, Victor? Was this sort of what you wanted to do, or had you kind of dabbled in trying to do any other shows?
Well, like, no, this is the only real show that I had applied for, and I actually applied for season 16 and didn't get picked. And then I took a two-year hiatus, essentially, from Big Brother because I was salty that I didn't get picked. And then I saw that they were coming to New Orleans, and I was like, you know, maybe I'll go, maybe I don't go. You know, it was a toss-up if I was going to go to the audition or not. And I finally decided to go, got somebody to take my shift at work, and I stood in line like 3 hours and went in and skipped two. Now I'm on the phone with you as Elfit Vic, America's favorite player.
That's not a bad gig for the summer, is it?
No, best gig I've had yet.
You know, somebody actually asked a question about that, Victor. They wanted to know, there was someone, someone that's trying to get onto Big Brother, Tim Gross. He's actually a mod for the Whispers groups. He said, do you have any advice for someone going into an open casting call?
Yeah, so my best advice to you is just really be yourself. Don't try to assume that they're looking for some crazy, wild personality or that you're trying to be something you're not, because I can honestly say that I saw that when I was standing in line waiting. People trying to be really loud and, you know, trying to be too funny or trying to be too, like, serious. Like, I was just myself. Actually, I didn't talk to anybody because I was just chilling and I didn't feel like talking to anybody that day. But when I went into the audition, I was just myself. I was relaxed. I was, you know, the goofy, charming, you know, guy that I am normally. And, I mean, that's what got me on the show. Don't try to conform to what you think they want. Just be who you are.
Right,
okay, I'll let them know. Thank you.
Another question along those lines, Victor, is after you've done that and now you're getting a call back, is there any advice for people that get that far?
I'd say, you know, I don't know how much I can talk about the process itself, but I will tell you this. If you say you're a really good liar, you better be able to back that up with some really good situational stories and scenarios that show that you're a really good liar. If you say you're the if you're telling them that you're the funniest person anybody has ever, you know, your friends say you're the funniest person, why are you the funniest person? You can't just declare that you're something and have nothing to back it up in a form of a story, scenario, or, you know, something of the like. So that's one of the biggest things. I mean, if you say anything, be ready to back it up.
Right. So if you're going to toss out some information about yourself like that, you better be ready for a follow-up question.
Exactly. If I tell them, hey, you know what, I don't take crap from anybody, and that's how I am. All right, well, tell me a situation. And then you're like, well, I can't really think about one right now. Yeah, that's not going to cut it.
All right, we got another question from Vanessa Renee. She wants to know, which past season contestants would you want to work with if you ended up on a show with them in the future?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean, I really like season 16, you know, Derek, because he was such a good strategist, you know.
Right.
He was so good at with his words and what he would do and how he could manipulate people, and he was really good at that. And so, I mean, he'd be somebody that I feel like I could work with because he just stuck to somebody that was loyal to him, which I'm a loyal person, and he's
right.
A good strategist, and I can – so I think we could work together in that respect.
Right. And Derek was a fan favorite, so that would probably be a pretty good connection if that could ever take place.
Yeah, I actually tweeted him. I tweeted him yesterday, you know, sending him thank yous, and I was like, "Fool is Derek," and I was like, "Thank you for the support." And he was like, "I don't know what the whole fool thing means, but I'll take it as a compliment. Thank you, Vic."
I'll tell you a funny story about Derek. I guess he's a Survivor fan too, because, you know, I do a whole lot more Survivor stuff than I do Big Brother stuff. But now Big Brother's starting to close that gap. But when Derek went into the house and was playing, I looked at my followers and stuff. And I saw that he followed me on Twitter, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't know who this guy was, and he follows me on Twitter, so he must be a reality TV fan. So he obviously already sort of kind of knew what was going on, you know, with the show. So he's probably pretty sharp.
Yeah, I think he is really, really sharp.
So what? Let me ask you this. Everybody has chimed in on this subject, and we haven't asked you about this tonight. But what were your thoughts about the whole Paulie, Zakiya, and Devon stuff?
In regards to, like, the jury house?
Yeah, what all went down there, how they all got into it.
I haven't seen that. I haven't gone back and watched that. All I heard when I came into the jury house was that there was a lot of tension and that Devon had yelled at Paulie. Paulie yelled at Devon, Zakiya, everybody was going in. And I was like, wow. Like, I thought that the jury house was a place to decompress after a stressful
exactly.
Big Brother house. And then I come to find out that it's worse than the jury house, that it's in the Big Brother house. And
yeah, it was
crazy.
It was crazy
because
they got into it, and you know how each person is, you know, from being in the house with them, you know their personalities, and you know, Devon's not going to back down from a confrontation. You know, Paulie's not going to back down, and there was Zakiya kind of stuck in the middle, and it was like Devon was going off because Zakiya wouldn't dump Paulie and be with her friend Devon, and then Paulie's like, why are you bringing this crap up now? And Zakiya just stuck in the middle like, yeah, why are you doing this to me? And Devon's like, I'm trying to open your eyes. It was just a whole big mess.
Yeah, and I, you know, my entire thing when I was, especially after I got evicted the first time and came back, like, when the game is over, let it be over, you know?
Exactly.
At that point, you know, we're in the jury house. Nobody's winning 500. Nobody's winning 50. All right? And
amen.
So this is our time to decompress, relax, and just think about who do we think was the best player. But it has nothing to do with us. But it was refreshing to know that when I went into the jury house, all that stopped. I didn't see any of it. All I saw that was that they can actually hang out in the same room together if I was in there. So.
Right.
So that was good.
Words
I mean,
of
that,
wisdom,
that
Victor.
Good. Yeah. So, I mean, I told them straight up when I went in the house, I was like, look, I'll talk to you guys about the show for like 5 minutes max, but after that I'm done. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, if you feel some type of way about something, just keep that to yourself because I'm not going to argue over it. And I didn't argue with anybody. Nobody argued in the house, and it was cool for the 2 days that I was there. But then that was it. But yeah, it was weird going into the jury house and knowing that there was tension. Like right when I walk in, I hear, oh, it's been so crazy. And I'm like, what the heck? I thought the game was over when we were over here.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, we're done. Let's just chill and relax and enjoy the pool and have some fun. And, you know, we're out of all that drama right now, but you know, unfortunately, a couple of them kept it going. I'm glad it ended before you got there and you didn't have to deal with it. But,
yeah,
when you watch the playback, I think you're going to drop your mouth wide open and go like, what?
Yeah, I think so, too. But, hey, I could take just a couple more questions here, and then I'm going to have to hop off here. I'm so sorry, but it's just I'm kind of hungry and thirsty. I'm just
That's
being
all
as
right.
straightforward as I can. I'm not hiding anything here.
Lisa, you got another question?
I actually have one question, Victor. I don't know if you're going to remember this, though. I noted it down. When you did your pre-interviews going into the house, I forget who it was. I think it was one of the bloggers. But you had made a comment that one of the things that you were going to hate was being one Google search away from proving someone wrong. I found that humorous, and I wanted to know exactly what you meant.
So it's like when somebody talks to me, in my mind, I'm always processing the information that they're giving me as truth or bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're out here in the real world, if somebody tells you something and you're not quite sure, you're one Google click away from saying, oh, you're right, I looked it up, or oh, you're wrong. When you're in the Big Brother house, you can't do that. If somebody tells you something, yeah, you can challenge it, but then they're going to argue with you to the end because nobody can find the right answer. Or if you're having a conversation with somebody and they're like, oh, have you seen that movie? Oh, which one? You know what, that actor? Oh, man, he was in this movie and that movie. And it's like, no, I don't know. And then that's in your head all day and maybe forever because you can't Google it.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, that's
like that's the little thing that, you know, some people don't think about from being inside the house.
Right, right. So the main question, we'll let this be the last question, because everyone just wants to hear it come from your lips, because I've told them, Lisa's told them, everybody's told them, but they want to hear it come Victor's lips. You would play again if asked, right?
I would 1,000% go right back into the Big Brother house if I was asked to, yes.
There you go.
There you go,
man.
Everyone.
There you go. You can sleep well tonight, and I can almost guarantee you from my experience watching these shows, from a production standpoint, he's going to get asked back. He's too popular, so get ready and just hold your breath because Victor will be back.
Ho, 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 ho. Watch out for the Puerto Rican sensation on El Douchebago Radio.
Victor, we appreciate this tonight. You were just as we thought you would be. You're a 100% class act. Say hello to your parents because they did a heck of a job raising you. And anytime that you have like a little slow night or something and you want to holler at some fans, you just hit me up and we'll fix it up and we'll get it going and let you talk to fans again. We're in your corner. We support you. And we respect how you played the game.
Hey, and, you know, to everybody that's out there listening to this podcast right now, I really do, you know, all the funny stuff aside and all the shit that I do, I really do genuinely care about you guys. And it's been such a surreal experience coming back home to just all the support and all the love. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. It's just been amazing. I wasn't anticipating this at all. I wasn't anticipating America's Favorite Player. I wasn't anticipating having the roller coaster of experience that I had, be able to keep myself intact and still have everybody love me for it. So in all honesty, I love you guys, and I really do appreciate the opportunity that was presented to me and how you guys responded to how I responded. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Victor.
Thanks a lot, Victor. And Victor, I'll be in touch with you in the next day or two, and just enjoy everything going on for you now and hooking back up with your family.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. All the best in the future.
All right. Thanks,
guys.
All right,
fans.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Victor. That's it, fans. That is the podcast tonight with your favorite. He is America's favorite. He was the most favorite player in the Big Brother house this summer. Victor. And he let you know he would come back. He told you about things in the house. And if you want to share this, share the link so all your fellow Big Brother fans can listen to it and see just what a cool dude this guy is. It's not an act. It's not a show. Victor's who Victor is, and either you love that, and I know most of you do, or you don't. And he's fine with that. So Thanks a lot for calling in. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.